Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16, in your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1021, 1021. And there are three verses that we'll read together, all of us reading these verses together. Matthew, chapter 16, and we'll begin with verse 16, and then I'll instruct you from there. Where else to read? Shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word? And so begin with me on the 16th verse. Ready? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. Likewise, we'll read these verses together. Ready? From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great place, a place made great by the preaching of thy word, and of course, it's great because thou art here with us, for thy promise to meet where two or three are gathered together surely is true in this great congregation, this great gathering of believers and people from many walks of life. Bless, we pray, the preaching of your word, and bless concerning each one. And his particular need, in Jesus' name, amen.
Later on in my message, you'll find that song, the theme of that song, dwelling predominantly on Lord's Supper Day. I begin preaching a few minutes later. I usually leave you just with one main thought, and we will not be as lengthy as usual this morning, and usually on Sunday morning we're not lengthy even then. So I want you to follow me very, very carefully. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, where does backsliding usually start? Where does backsliding usually start? We read a while ago, and you need not turn to it again, where Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, he said in one place, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never come to thee. And again he said, if everybody betrays you, you can count on me. It's not me. Now from the statement in Matthew 16:16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is Peter's crowning hour. Listen to this statement. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked on him and said, Art thou also, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth? But Peter denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He went out on the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. He denied it again. A little after that, they that stood by said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them. Thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he, Peter, began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. I know not this man of whom you speak. These words are coming from one who said just a few chapters ago, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did it happen? Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the message from the Word of God that comes from the throne of God, I believe, to the mind and the heart of this poor preacher, to the ears and hearts of this audience. Speak through me and to us. Amen. I stood beside a man who a year before had been, by all odds, the finest member of one of the finest churches in his city and area. This man had been the best bus captain in the church. No doubt the best soul winner in the church. Where I stood beside him was at the front door of a motel apartment where he was living with a harlot. And where he was out of church totally. A year ago, best man in the church, as far as outward appearances would lead us to believe. He looked at me and he said, "Dr. Hiles, I love you. I always have, ever since the first time I heard you preach." He said, "How could this happen to me? If anybody would ever told me a year ago this could have happened to me, I'd have said he was a liar. How could it happen?" I ask you the same question about the Apostle Peter. Here is one who was always chosen to lead the apostles. When the list of the apostles list was given, it was always headed by Peter. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, always led by Peter. Then, when the three closest apostles were chosen, that list also of three was always headed by Peter. Peter, James, and John. Never James and John and Peter. Never John and James and Peter. Always Peter, James, and John. What a startling comparison to hear him as he rises to the zenith of his life, given by the Holy Spirit from God the Father, the great truth. Jesus asked, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, Simon Barjona, but my Father which is in heaven." How could it be that a revelation from the Heavenly Father by way of the Holy Spirit could have been given to the Apostle Peter to cause him to rise to such a height? And then for that same giant among giants, leader among leaders, Christian among Christians, soul winner among soul winners, how could it be that he could, at the time his Lord needed the most, could be cursing and swearing and say, "I know not the man. I'm not with them. What you sound like. You got the accent. I'm not with them. I know not the man." As he cursed and swore. How could it happen? Well, somebody said because he warmed at the devil's fire. This he did. And nobody ought to. You don't need false fire when you've got the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But he warmed the devil's fire. He was with the devil's crowd. And nobody ought to run with the devil's crowd. Now, you ought to be nice to them and friendly, but you ought not to run with the devil's crowd. And somebody would say, "That's why. That's why. I don't care whether you do it in a religious endeavor or secular endeavor. You run with the wrong crowd, you're gonna stumble. That's all there is to it." But it goes back farther than that. It wasn't just running with the devil's crowd that started Peter's backsliding. What was the step from "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God" to "I know not this man" as he cursed and swore? Well, somebody said, "Okay, let's go back." He followed afar off, and he did follow afar off. And if you follow afar off, then you're going to be in trouble too. But it goes back beyond that. It goes back to running with the wrong crowd? Oh, yes. And it goes back to following the Father. And when you, listen, when you get away from God's people, there's a vacuum there that'll be filled by the devil's people. But it goes back farther than that. Somebody said, "I know what it was." Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he came back and he told the disciples to watch and pray. And Peter and the disciples were sound asleep. And Jesus said, "Couldn't you watch and pray for just a while?" And Peter was asleep. He failed to watch and pray. And I want to say this morning, anybody who fails to pray is headed for shipwreck. You're headed for trouble. They saw Jesus as He preached, but never did they ask, teach us to preach.
They heard Him as He taught, but never did they say, Lord, teach us to teach. They saw Him as He cast out devils, but never did they say, Lord, teach us to cast out devils. They saw Him as He raised the dead, but never one time did they say, Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. But they saw Him pray, and they heard Him pray, and they said, Lord, teach us to do that.
Teach us to pray as John also taught His disciples. And I want to say this morning, every single person in this room who's a child of God, if you leave your prayer closet, you'll soon leave the will of God. You become a backslider. But it goes back farther.
Peter's backsliding goes back farther than his being with the wrong crowd. And it goes back farther than him following afar off. And it goes back farther than his not praying and watching when he should have been.
Somebody says, I know what it was. It goes back to when he boasted. Jesus said, one somebody here is going to betray me. And Peter said, although all shall be offended, yet not I, not I. You can count on me.
It was thinking he could make it. And by the way, nobody ought to ever think he's got it made because nobody ever has it made. I don't care who you are, how secure, how much you've done for God. You don't have it made. The Apostle Paul, when time came to die, the Apostle Paul said, I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I think he said, I stumbled across the line. I made it.
And didn't stumble and didn't fall. But that's not where it started. Listen carefully. Where did it start? It started when Jesus started to talk about His coming death. And He said, told the disciples about His coming death. And Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee.
And then later, when a servant of the high priest came and Peter drew his sword and tried to behead him and he ducked like this and he got his ear.
Jesus put Malchus' ear back on and said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's always been strange to me.
How that Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, friend. And how He said to Peter, who tried to stop Calvary, Satan. Why? Because Judas Iscariot, though he was of the devil, he was a tool used to betray the Savior to do the will of God. And Peter was trying to keep Jesus from the cross. And now, where did it start?
Peter said, and this is interesting, Peter said, I never do anything right. I tell the Lord, don't want him to die. He gets upset with me.
And then he's about to die, and I take my sword and chop his ear off and try to get the head. I'm his friend. I just never do anything right.
He doesn't appreciate me. I just think I'll lag along, but sort of toward the back.
Now, where did it start? It started when he doubted,
when he didn't trust the Savior.
It started when he doubted the plan of God because the plan of God included suffering. It started when he could not understand that suffering could be a way to the throne. He could not see how his Lord suffering and dying could be a part of the plan of the church. Jesus had said, upon this rock I will build my church. And Peter said, how can he build his church if he's dead? How can he build his church and how can we carry out this great commission of God if he's in a grave somewhere? This cannot be. And Peter could not see how the Lord suffering and dying could be a part of the plan of the church.
You see, the Messiah. Every woman that lived before she, every virgin woman hoped that she someday would carry the Messiah in her womb.
Every synagogue that opened its doors on the Sabbath day opened its doors hoping that they would be able to live to see the coming Messiah. From the time that God had said to Adam and Eve in the garden, or to Eve in the Garden of Eden, that someday your seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. Every time a lamb was offered on the altar, they looked for the Lamb of God to come. Every time a turtle dove fluttered its wings for the last time as a sacrifice. Every time the beating of a lamb was heard for the last moment, its breath fled and blood fled from its body. It pointed that someday the Messiah would come. And every faithful Jew looked forward to be alive.
Just like we look forward to being alive when He comes again.
Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? I'm not afraid to die if I died right now. I'm not afraid. Have no fear of death. I don't want to die now. I've got more things I want to do.
I've got more hungry people I want to feed and more unsaved people I want to win. and more tears I want to catch on these shoulders, and more hearts I want to mend, and more lives I want to help, and more sermons I want to preach, and more miles I want to travel, and more preachers I want to inspire to build great churches, and I want to do my part to try to give this nation someday to the following generation and say, I've done the best I could to make it possible for you to inherit at least a halfway decent society. But I want to tell you something. I'm not afraid to die. Well, I like to think of that little story I often tell. One day, and I said, John Rice, a guy pulled a gun and stuck it in John Rice's stomach and said, I'll blow your brains out. That shows how dumb the world is. The brains aren't in the stomach. And I'll blow your brains out. Had the gun pointed his stomach, Dr. Rice took his glasses off and said, buddy, you can't scare me with heaven. Peter didn't want Jesus to die. We want to be here when he comes again. I don't want to die. I want to be here when he comes. Oh, joy. Oh, delight. Should I go without dying? I'd love to hear with my ears now the trumpet sound, and I'd love to watch the dead in Christ as they rise, and I'd like to go from this present place and to transform in a moment. And that's what every Jew wanted. He wanted to be alive. And Peter was one of the lucky ones. He was alive when the Messiah came. He did walk with him. He felt his hand upon his own shoulder. He felt his hand clasped in his own hand. He felt his hand as they washed his own feet. And Peter said, he's here! The Messiah! He's here! And now the Messiah says, I'm going to be betrayed to the hands of guilty men. I'm going to go to a cross. I'm going to die. And Peter said, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I saw a little lady here in this church, married just a few weeks. I saw her hold that her wedding gown she had worn just a few weeks before, as the body of her young husband lay in state. And she said, Brother Howes, I don't understand this. I've looked forward to this. I love this man. It's been the dream of my life. Now look at here, all I have, a few pictures and a wedding gown I used a few days ago. I don't understand it. And that's what Peter was saying. Peter was saying, I don't understand it. I look forward to his coming. I walked the shores of Galilee with him. I saw him still the waves and calm the storm. I saw him bless the children. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him as he cast out devils. I heard him as he preached, and I heard him as he taught. Never man spake like he spake. I don't understand it, why he has to die. How lacking we are. Somehow we always keep God's goodness on trial, don't we? God's actions have to make sense to us. We only follow what we understand. We want to judge God's actions by our preferences, and we want to judge God's actions by what we would have done had we been God. We make God answerable to us. We lose sight that all things do work together for good to those who love God, those that are called according to His purpose. We must see it for our own good. You know, the greatest thing you'd ever do for Jesus is what that song said a while ago, just trust Him. Trust Him. What does it mean? It means when you can't see why He does, trust Him. You can't understand what He does, trust Him. You can't figure out why He does what He does, trust Him. You can't, doesn't make sense what He does, trust Him. Trust Him when you've delayed the best, great, dearest of life in the grave. Trust Him when the precious child is discovered, the child has some disease, he'll never be normal. Trust Him when your husband, newfound husband, has passed on into eternity. Trust Him when the doctor says it's cancer. Trust Him. Like that good man, Mr. Gifford, did years ago in this church, one of our deacons, when they found out he had cancer, and I rushed to the hospital up there. I walked in trying to say what to say because they just told him he had terminal cancer and couldn't live but a few days. I remember how they tried to find what was wrong with him. And he stayed up there and stayed up there and stayed in test after test. And finally, they found he had inoperable, incurable cancer. And I walked in his room trying to think, what can I say? I didn't have to say anything. That good man looked up at me at the gates of death and said, Pastor, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And my message to you this morning is the greatest thing you'll ever do is look at things you can't understand and trust Him. Look at things you would not have done if you were God and trust Him. Look at things you can't comprehend and trust Him. Anybody can trust Him at noontime, but trust Him at midnight. Anybody can trust Him when the sun is bright, but trust Him
when the fog and clouds conceal your vision. Anybody can trust Him when they're well and healthy, but trust Him when you're sick and facing death chambers. Anybody can trust Him when you've got a pocket full of money, but trust Him when you've lost your job and there's not. Our God knows what's best. He knows what. Let me just say this. He's God. He's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. He does. Don't make God have to meet your approval before you trust Him. You trust Him when you can't understand why He does what He does. One time a young man came to my office. He said, Pastor, he said, I haven't had a job, but I got one now. My family was sick, but they're well now. I thought my little boy was going to die, but he made it. And my wife has about to have a nervous breakdown, but she's okay now. And we had a hard time financially, but I got a good job now, best job I've ever had. He said, thank God He's on His throne. God's on His throne when you haven't got a job. God's on His throne when the wife's about to have a nervous breakdown. God's on His throne when the child is facing an incurable illness. God's on His throne when you haven't got any money in your pocket and food in the cupboard. God's on His throne. And Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And we know, not hope, wish, we know, not maybe so, we know, not might be, we know. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. You take it this morning. If you're facing a midnight hour or facing the fog of time and can't see your hand in front of your face, you take it and squeeze it real good and say, I trust You, Lord. I trust You to know what's best. I wouldn't want a God I could fully understand. I wouldn't want a God I could comprehend. I want a God whose ways are far above my ways. I want a God whose plans are far above mine. Jesus came to Peter. Peter said, far be it from you. That's where his backsliding started. Back behind the warming of the devil's fire was the following afar off. But back behind the following afar off was the sleeping and slumbering when he should have been watching and praying. And back behind that was the boasting, but back behind all of it, he just didn't trust God to know what was best. Jesus said, Peter, you'll know hereafter. Did he ever know hereafter? When he stood up 50 days later on Pentecost, preached that sermon, saw 3,000 folks coming down the aisle, and they had to get more name takers at the altar. Baptist dressing rooms were overflowing. When the Spanish folks came down the aisle, they couldn't even take care of them in the center aisle. Folks came from B Sunday School. They didn't know what to do with all of them. Old Peter stood and watched those folks walk down the aisle. And he said, well, he knows what he's doing. And brother, I'll guarantee you, you'll find out someday he knows what he's doing. Jesus said, Peter, get thee behind me. Peter, it's God's will that I be betrayed to the sinners. It's God's will I go to the Pilate's hall. It's God's will I go before Herod. It's God's will I be beaten. Isaiah 53 must be fulfilled, Peter. I've got to have stripes. I've got to have prints in my nail, my hands and my feet. I've got to die. Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. I'll take my sword and cut off his ear. He didn't trust that what God was doing was the thing that was the best to be done. And then Jesus said later, afterward, Peter, he said, Peter, there's some things you can understand before you die. You won't understand them now, but there's some things that before you die, you're going to understand them. But then he said, Peter, there's some things you won't even understand before you die. He said, Peter, if you never understand them, I want you still to trust me that I'm doing what's best. He said, afterward, you'll understand. It may be the burden you carry this morning and the heart ache you feel. It may be the tears that overflow your cup of sorrow this morning. It may be you understand now why it's happening. Maybe you can see God's hand through it all, but maybe you can't. Maybe there's no way in the world you can understand it. But you'll understand it hereafter. He'll tell you one of these days. But if you don't find out until after your heart has beat its last breath and your blood has gone through your veins its last time and your breath has filled your lungs for the last time. If you don't understand it when you die, I'll guarantee you, as sure as this book be God's book, when you get to the glory world, you're going to find out God knew what He was doing. That's where it starts. Where's backsliding start? Taking a drink of liquor? No, when you don't trust God that He knows what He's doing, even if it doesn't look good to you, that's where it starts. God hasn't been good to me. I don't understand it. Have to understand it. Trust Him who brings it about.
I wondered about Romans 8:28. When my mama used to lay in the corner of a room with my 235-pound strong daddy with his fist doubled in my mama's mouth bleeding. And I, as a little 9-10-year-old boy, would cow in the corner of the room, trembling like that, afraid my daddy was going to kill my mama. And I wondered about Romans 8:28. I don't wonder anymore. God was getting me ready to pastor a church in the great Chicago area where thousands of little boys and girls have mamas that are beaten by their daddies. I understand it now. I wondered about Romans 8:28 when my daddy came in at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning drunk. And I could always hear him coming because he didn't have good tires, and one of the tires would be off the rim, and you could hear the rim against the gravel on the floor, on the ground, and the road. And I could hear people would come out, neighbors would come out, and dad would bump into a tree or maybe dent his fender, and neighbors would say, "No, it's nothing bad, just the old neighborhood drunk. Old Affy Hiles is coming again drunk." I used to wonder, and I'd watch him and hear him say what they'd said. I used to wonder, how can all things work together for good to those that love God? My pastor said they did. And I used to wonder how this can work together for good. I understand it now. The great momentum of my ministry has been the death of my daddy. I do not know how many thousands and hundreds of thousands will walk the streets of glory because of my daddy's death. You talk about a vicarious death. His was. I wondered about Romans 8:28. When my daddy stepped over my body when I was on my knees begging him to stay, and he wouldn't stay, and he cursed me and left our house for the last time, I wondered. I wondered at graduation when I looked to see if he was coming in the door, and he never came in. I wondered when I got my degree from college why others could have their daddies with them. My daddy wasn't there. I wonder today about some things, and you do too. Everybody in this room could stand and say, "There's some things I don't understand. And there's some things I don't understand either." But understand one. He who spoke and morning stars danced across the sky knows what's best.
He who spoke and mountains rose like pyramids above the horizon, He knows what's best. God's way is the best way, and He knows what's best.
This is an old illustration. It's a few months old. I've used it once here. It was early on a Wednesday morning. It's been about a year ago. Early on a Wednesday morning. And I was walking. And I felt honestly like my last breath, my next breath would be the last one. And the load on my shoulders was far heavier than the suitcases I carried. A little airport in the south. I do not know why this scripture came to me. But it did all of a sudden. And I began to quote it. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And I kept on quoting it as I walked down the hallway of the little southern airport. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And soon I was chanting it as I walked cadence. "All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And I kept chanting it. And God gave me a little song, and I'm neither a songwriter nor a singer. But I found myself singing to a tune I'd never heard, just came to me. And I began to sing. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And I kept on singing, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Where did Peter begin backsliding? warming with the devil's fire? No. Far be it, back before that. When he was walking afar off? No. No, that wasn't the start. Way back beyond that. When he was sleeping, when he should have been praying? No. No, it goes back farther than that. When he boasted and said, I'll stand if everybody... No, it goes back farther than that. Peter began his backsliding where you began yours. When you looked at the events of your life, and you said, I don't understand. And I don't think God's being good to me. You just trust Him. I'll guarantee you. He'll tell you in a few days. Why? If He doesn't tell you in a few days, He'll tell you in a few years. If He doesn't tell you in a few years, He'll tell you. For there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare Him a dwelling place there. Trust Him. He knows what's best. You can't figure Him out? Trust Him. You can't understand Him? Trust Him. Sing it. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct. Trust Him, heavy heart. Trust Him, broken heart. Trust Him, lonely heart. Trust Him. His way is the best way. Our Heavenly Father, as I've said so often, we're stuck down here on this little ball going around in space. We don't understand it all. But we don't have to, because You do. We don't know all about it, but we don't have to, because You do. Help us to take You off trial. And bless the people this morning who are prone to doubt. Give them a good old jar full of faith and trust.